Flash forward! The mask. This lie had transformed something in me, for good and for ill. For a couple of years, I wrote poetry and performed throughout New York City. And although the relationship that served as a catalyst for this change ended, it clearly left an imprint on my own development. All of this went on hold, however, when I moved to New Jersey to begin my doctoral studies in clinical psychology. Poetry, art, and performance took a back seat to clinical work, research, and academics. For a time, I put down that mask and forgot about these experiences. Until 3 years later. Being all but dissertation, I had the freedom to live whenever I wanted and completing my program, so I decided to move back to New York City. I later matched with a New York City-based internship. In returning to the Big Apple, and found myself drawn once again to the world of art, poetry, and the spoken word. As I considered performing again, new issues arose. When I performed in the past, was I not just performing for the sake of another, in order to garner their love? Did this not mean I was basically a fraud? Could I do this with any integrity? Furthermore, I was completing my training as a clinical psychologist. What would my colleagues and supervisors think? At times, I also felt that being a clinical psychologist and psychotherapist also meant being part of a contemporary form of clergy. To be neutral, chaste, and professional in all aspects of life. And then came the big one. The fear of many a neophyte clinician. What if I bump into my patients? What if they were to see me performing in the community? What would this introduce into the therapeutic relationship? Would it disrupt my treatments? One could say I had a bit of anxiety. How did I resolve this tension for myself? What creative compromise formations did I come up with? Naturally, I wore a mask. A literal one. I figured the best way to re-enter the world of poetry and maintain a sense of anonymity and boundaries was to produce some attire that would sufficiently hide my identity. It was the winter season at the time, so I donned a scarf which I wrapped around my face, a hat that would peel just over my eyes, and a heavy coat. I thought it wouldn't be noticeable in any particular way, given the weather. However, I also needed a stage name, something engaging and recognizable, yet also enigmatic and nondescript. Once I decided on it, the stage name itself became part of my performance. My name is Daniel José Gastambide Núñez Arriá Costa Suárez Ceja. Bird. But you can call me D-Bird. I decided on this nom de guerre as an amalgamation of my first name, the various last names that made up my family history. Traditionally, as well as not often recognized Latino and Spanish names of Basque and Galician descent, as well as the odd duck of the bunch, Bird. This last name in particular, I'm told, is derived from a British, possibly Irish extraction from a predominantly Caribbean and Iberian family. This play of names, heritage, and culture tied into the themes that textured much of my artistic writing and performance. Race, belonging, identity, heritage, and the masks we wear in our search for love and acceptance became central to my artistic work, one which resonated with the predominantly Latino and African-American audiences I performed for. However, something happened which I did not quite expect. People resonated to my performances, but also to my attire and demeanor. Who is that mysterious poet? He suddenly arrives on the scene, performs, and seemingly disappears into the night. Who is that masked vigilante? Audiences were responding not just to a message, but an optics. The image of a masked superhero of color, brandishing the Puerto Rican flag on his chest, swooping in and delivering laughs, entertainment, and food for thought. Even more striking were the reactions of young people, especially children, adolescents, and their parents. I wasn't sure what to make of this, but decided to lean into it. My art style shifted into a new mode, one in which I used the language of comic books and superheroes to talk about race, identity, and politics. It was fun. A more fundamental shift took place, however. In the act of just listening to my fellow poets and their work, a series of truths that build up to a crescendo. Truths that dash lies and demands that masks come off. To be transparent about my clinical work and scholarship, I write a lot about cultural competency, race, psychotherapy, and the Therapeutic Alliance. In my clinical work, I focus on treating people from vulnerable communities with complex trauma histories and comorbid personality disorders, substance misuse and self-harm, drawing on exposure therapy, transference-focused psychotherapy, and dialectical behavior therapy, depending on the needs of the case. These perspectives hovered in the back of my head as I heard poem after poem exploring histories of child sexual abuse and neglect, drugs, sexual assault, invalidation, love, loss, and communal trauma. At times, especially when I participated in workshops and heard my peers work out loud, it was overwhelming. Initially, I was taken off guard in the way so many themes and stories that regularly came up in my work were also finding a home in the art scene. As a trauma therapist navigating his own self-care and burnout, it felt like drowning. I learned to see art and poetry as windows looking into the wounds of my community. Something about it moved me, and pushed me further and further into letting go of some of my fears. I let myself get closer, and make new friendships and relationships in the community. Through these friendships, I let myself be more comfortable, and over time talked openly about my profession as a clinical psychologist. This opened up new opportunities for advocacy and consciousness raising. As I began performing with friends who disclosed their own struggles with mental health and wrote pieces and skits exploring psychotherapy, therapeutic relationships, and what it's like for people of color to seek mental health treatment. Sometimes I performed as a persona of different kinds of therapists. The abstinent Freudian, the empathic Rogerian, the dialectical behaviorist, and I've channeled my inner Kernberg and Linehan at times. Other times, I wore the mask and performed as D-Bird fighting against the forces of stigma and social injustice. Mind you, I'm still a clinician with firm boundaries and a clear understanding of the role of the frame in developing an effective treatment. Nevertheless, the neatly divided lines between personal and professional, lies I had spent so much energy setting up, were beginning to cross. As a trauma therapist navigating his own self-care and burnout, it felt like drowning. I